And we kick off hour number three of Gwen and Chris with that sounder indicating that the Padres have a lineup out today. If you haven't been listening to the show till now, you're going to be a little surprised at the Padre lineup today.
Yeah.
Because there's some names in there that you probably didn't know were even on the Padres. Why don't you go ahead and give the lineup, and then we'll give the newsworthy items that make this lineup
interesting.
What it is.
Yeah. All right. We got Luis Arraez leading off. No surprise there. Playing first base. Jerickson Profar is in the lineup playing left field. Manny Machado is playing third base, batting third. Jake Cronenworth cleaning up today, playing second base. This goes along with the theme of the show. Donovan Solano.
He's batting cleanup and hitting fourth?
Yes, he's batting cleanup, hitting fourth, and he's hitting second base, Chris.
Okay.
Donovan Solano is DH, Jackson Merrill, center field, Ha-Seong Kim, shortstop, Higashioka, catcher, and then Bryce Johnson in right field. He's a switch hitter.
Who's that?
Bryce Johnson. Yeah.
A lot of people might say, who is that? Well, he just got called up to the big leagues by the Padres, and he's playing right field because Fernando Tatis Jr. has been placed on the injured list and may be there for a while. Yeah, crying notwithstanding. Fernando, Kevin Acey, nobody's reporting that he's going to be out till after the All-Star break, but people are reporting that it could very well be until after the All-Star break.
I guess it kind of sort of makes sense. Because you're letting him, he's been trying to play through his quad injury for a couple weeks now, but it kind of sort of makes sense just to let him heal up all the way.
Well,
hopefully they can hang in there, you know?
The other guy that is concerning to me is Profar right now. Now, Tony and I talked about this. I don't know how healthy he is right now. I mean, he just looks like that knee could go on him at any moment.
I agree.
Maybe I'm overly concerned, but, you know, he's playing through some pain. There's no question. You watch him run, and everything he does is, you know, he's doing it gingerly. And so he's not anywhere near 100% right now. And I don't know, you know, how he's going to get that knee better if he doesn't take some time off. But there's no way Jerickson Profar wants to take time off now. He's making a push to get on his first All-Star team.
Yeah. I was at the game yesterday watching Jerickson very closely, and there were a couple balls to left field that I thought maybe if he was healthy, he would be able to sprint and possibly dive and get there. But he wasn't even sprinting in. I'm not saying he's not trying. I'm just saying it looks like it hurts.
No, I don't think he can. I don't think he can sprint right now.
Yeah, and that's what Tony said. When he gets into sprint mode is when it pains him the most.
Yeah, he was on second base yesterday. Manny got a base hit to center field. Profar stopped at third, and there was no chance that he was coming in.
Yeah,
I mean, he
yeah.
was just staying at third.
At a certain point, though, I guess you don't have anybody who's better who's going to replace him.
No.
And you got to be willing to let go of the defense if you want his bat.
Yeah, with Fernando going on the injured list, you've got to have Profar right now. Matt Waldron is pitching tonight, so that's the good news for the Padres. Patrick Corbin is pitching for the Nationals, which would be good news were it not for the fact that he's left-handed. Here is some other good news. We have a chance for you to win some Padre National tickets for tomorrow's game. So stick around for your chance to do that. Tomorrow's game, by the way, featuring the Ha-Seong Kim bobblehead giveaway.
Yep.
If you're one of the first 40,000 fans tomorrow night, that's what you will receive. Grab tickets at Padres.com/tickets or stay tuned to the program. Your chance to win is coming up soon. Now, we've got another chance for you to win. Right now, chance to win a trip to Las Vegas.
And I have an extra prize that I just found.
Gonna give it away now in Chris vs. the Fans.
If you had one shot, one opportunity to take down the human almanac himself.
Howdy do.
Now is your time.
Listen to me, this guy is dangerous.
Now is your opportunity to win a prize.
Well, I hope you know Gen 4.
Chris versus the Fans starts now on 97.3 The Fan.
Also, all right.
let's talk at the same time because that's the way the show's gone.
Usually I take it.
It's been a disaster today. I mean, honestly. And there's no way to start over.
No.
Like, once it starts kind of rolling downhill, it's been gaining momentum. You're going to be qualified for a chance to win our grand prize, two-night stay at the Fontainebleau, Las Vegas. Tickets to either Hootie and the Blowfish or Smashing Pumpkins. That's at the Blue Live Theater. Also, $150 poolside dining credit. I like that. Summer room packages, tickets available now. FontainebleauLasVegas.com.
All right, the rules.
And no, then I'll tell you the second something prize. Else.
Yeah, I'll tell you right now then. I'll save Chris from having to read that second part. Someone just said in the chat, which is accurate, worst lineup reading of all time. Which was accurate.
Oh, I mean, but it goes along with the show today.
I typed back. I said, if you're not following the theme of the show, it's been a dumpster fire.
Come on now. Speak for yourself.
I've been a
dumpster fire.
Speak
for yourself
fire.
On that one. I'm not going that far down.
I went to physical therapy this morning. I got the stitches taken out of my arm. I'm blaming it on that.
You're 2 weeks removed from shoulder surgery. You have every excuse to not be able
Thank
to talk.
You. Thank You're right. My shoulder is usually where I go
That's
through the
right.
talk.
So, yeah, it makes perfect sense to me.
All right, the second prize is a four-pack of tickets to Field of Dreams in concert on July 19th at the Rady Shell at Jacobs Park. Watch the movie with the Academy Award-winning score performed live by the San Diego Symphony Orchestra. Tickets are on sale now at theshell.org. That's kind of cool. I might
You know who wants
that.
To win that?
You?
No, my wife.
She likes the
Rady Shell.
Oh, yeah, it's awesome.
She likes going to listen to music there. She also loved the movie Field of Dreams. Now, my wife is a good sports fan, as you know, but not, you know, overly crazy about it. I'll never forget. We went to see Field of Dreams. You remember the last scene? He plays catch with his dad.
I don't. I'm sorry.
Okay, he plays catch with his dad. Then they pull back and... They have the lights of the cars are streaming into the stadium
okay, yes,
to see the game.
To me. Yes, Shoeless Joe is there.
Shoeless Joe. Anyway, my wife is. I look over. She's bawling her eyes out.
She's crying.
Bawling her eyes out. Like can't get her breath.
Really?
That kind of crying.
It was tears of joy, right? She's
yeah.
happy.
I don't know. I never been able to explain it.
I didn't cry at Field of Dreams.
She loved Field of Dreams. So
that is hilarious.
If you don't want these tickets, give them to my wife. She will love having them. Give us the rules, and then let's get on with
yes.
the game.
The rules are you have to make it through three questions. Each question is going to get more difficult. If you get the question right, you move on. If you get it wrong and Chris gets it right, you're eliminated. But if Chris gets it wrong, then you move on to the next question, or you win. Here we
what
go.
What about if you're a first-time
player? Right. Let us know before you get into it, and you'll get the first question for free. I will go with Christopher. Hello, Christopher. How are you?
Hello.
How we doing, Chris?
Hey.
Yeah, hey, Chris.
Good.
How's it going?
Good, Chris.
Are you ready to play, sir?
Yes, sir. See who all my blood goes today.
Wait, say that one more time.
You guys hear me?
Yeah,
let's just play.
Okay, we'll play.
Sorry, guys.
No, I'm
on the road right now, coming down.
Oh, don't.
Coming down. Yeah, Ramona, sorry for the...
No problem.
I don't know, we might get cut off.
Okay,
no,
we'll get going here. Who won the U.S. Open golf tournament last weekend? Or 2 weekends ago, I should say.
You there? Chris, did we lose you?
Chris?
Might have lost him.
I think we lost him.
All right.
I'm going to put him on hold. Maybe we'll come back to him.
Maybe come back to him.
Did you like how I still buzzed him?
You gave him a buzz anyway.
That was weird of me.
Yeah, it's all right. Fair.
Let's go to Tom and Mira Mason. We'll try again, Chris.
Try with Chris again. Tom, how you doing, man?
Doing great. If I win, I'll share the tickets with your wife, all right?
You'll share with my wife. All right, Tom, I'll take that under advisement.
That was funny.
That was.
All right, Tom, here we go. Question number one. I'll ask you. Did we say the answer? I don't think we did. Who won the U.S. Open 2 weekends ago?
Bryson DeChambeau.
Bryson DeChambeau is correct.
Correct.
He's on top of the world right now. He's walking around downtown Nashville with his U.S. Open trophy on his side. That would be sweet, I gotta
say. Sure be nice if he was on the tour.
Yeah. Okay, here we go. Question number two. Jose Canseco's last season was in 2001 for what AL team?
Oh, my God.
You said 2001?
Correct. What AL team?
Who did he finish up with?
I'm going to guess White Sox.
White Sox is correct.
Ah, it is?
I don't think you have enough time to actually look that up, but that is pretty good.
That was really good.
That was pretty good, I got to say.
Jose Canseco honestly stopped with every franchise on his way out the door. So very good of you to get
very
that,
nice.
Tom.
Yes.
Nicely done. I bet my wife better start packing her bags.
She's going to start getting the picnic basket together.
Yes, looking like Tom might have a winner here.
All right, here we go. Question number three. Been wanting to ask this one for a while, but since your tickets to a movie are on the line, here we go. In The Fish That Saved Pittsburgh, what was the team nickname for the Pittsburgh basketball team that Dr. J and Meadowlark Lemon played for?
My God. The Fish That Saved Pittsburgh.
The Pisces. Chris, you better watch your wife because
he
is correct.
It? What?
Yeah.
Wow. Tom. Unbelievable.
You got to stay there, Tom. I'm going to get your information in the break. Stay right there.
Good job, Tom.
That was pretty good.
I mean, that movie, I vaguely remember that movie myself, let alone know the name of the team in the movie.
I remember when I saw this question,
excellent,
I knew I had to ask
job.
It because we have talked about The Fish That Saved Pittsburgh on the show before.
Yes, we have. It was a Dr. J movie back in the day.
Yeah.
But it was kind of a goofy movie. I don't recall it, you know, standing the test of time or anything like that.
I have yet to see it on Netflix.
I think Tom might be, I mean, I'm honest, I'm going out on a limb right now. Tom is in the photo for the greatest contestants we've ever had.
Top five?
Yeah. Those were the last two were really tough questions, and he nailed them both. Good job, Tom.
I got to see. Yeah. Let me just make sure.
I'm going to make sure my wife has got something else to do on July 19th.
You guys are out of town, right?
I hope so. Could be in trouble. Nice job by Tom there. Very good. He wins Chris vs. the Fans today. He also wins two four-pack of tickets to see Field of Dreams in concert at the Rady Shell. You will enjoy that, Tom. It's a great venue down there by the Bay, San Diego, as it were. Which is where we were the other day, Scraby, enjoying a little birthday celebration for yours truly.
Hey, I gotta say.
And apparently, now that I've turned a new age, I really just can't host a smooth talk show anymore. It just hasn't been going
our
way today.
I was the one who was likely going to give away the location of your birthday leading up to your birthday.
Right.
But I did not, and I gotta say, I am very proud of myself. Because
we probably would have had a pretty good turnout.
We would have had a good turnout for sure.
Yeah.
Do you want to say where it was?
Sure, we can say now.
Yeah, go for it.
Yeah, we were at Spiro's in Coronado,
yes.
And we had a great time.
Yes, it was great. It was great.
We had a really good time in April, whose name I mentioned on all of our ads.
Yes.
April is the catering director and owner of Spiro's. She takes care of us, and she is great. That's what made for a great party. So.
Did she take care of us? But she took care of each and every customer, like singularly, like went person by person asking were good.
Some of my friends are a little picky, is what you're saying. And she was willing to take care of them,
their own
wants and needs.
Yes.
Yeah, April did a great job, and we had a great time at Spiro's. So thank you to everyone at Spiro's. Thanks to everyone who got involved in Chris vs. the Fans today, but especially Tom and Mira Mesa, who takes home today's title. We'll take a quick break. More Gwen and Chris headed your way. All right, welcome back to Gwen and Chris. What a impressive performance that was by Tom. To win Chris vs. the Fans today. Another edition of Chris vs. the Fans coming up tomorrow. Also, still to come on this show, a chance for you to win two tickets to tomorrow night's Padres-Washington Nationals game. Stay close to the phone.
Yes, stay close.
Scraby, do you know whose 40th birthday it is today, by any chance?
40th birthday
today.
I know this. Hold on.
The young age of 40?
J.J. Redick.
That is correct.
Yes, I saw this earlier.
J.J. Redick is 40 years old today, is also introduced as the new head coach of the Los Angeles Lakers. J.J. Redick said, among other things today, the podcast with LeBron James will continue.
Oh, yes!
They're now.
I just hurt myself. I was so excited.
No, they're not going to do it.
No, really? Is that what you just made me hurt myself for a fake thing?
Yeah, I did. I didn't think you'd react quite so ecstatically.
I've been wanting this.
I was going to say they're going to do the podcast at halftime of each game.
That would be amazing.
No, they're not doing the podcast anymore. Said Redick, my goal, guess what his goal is as coach of the Lakers?
I would hope wins.
Win what?
The championship.
No kidding. And the last coach to take a job and say, you know, my goal is to, like,
be mediocre for a couple of years.
You know, win 35 games would be good. Get the number one pick next year. No, he says his goal is to win a championship. That's what he signed up for.
Okay, good.
So we'll see if that happens. I've heard a lot of trade rumors, rampant around the Lakers, though. I don't know if any of them are true.
What, like what? Oh, yeah. Over the weekend, tell everybody about what you thought happened.
The one I saw over the weekend, it said it came from Woj. And Woj is usually right. But he said that the Bulls and the Lakers were talking about DeRozan and Zach LaVine, basically, for Anthony Davis. I don't know if I like that for either side, frankly. I don't think that's enough for the Lakers. And I don't think Anthony Davis by himself could do anything for the Bulls.
Oh, my gosh. Can you imagine? Oh, sorry. I really hurt myself.
You are really having problems today.
Can you imagine the guy that you've been irked by for the past couple years?
If Anthony Davis goes to the Bulls, I'd be like, no.
You would have to watch him every time.
He drives me nuts, that guy. So I don't know, you know, if they're going to make a trade or not. I don't think DeRozan and Zach LaVine, bringing them to play with LeBron, is going to give the Lakers anything. I love DeRozan. I don't love Zach LaVine.
What's wrong with Zach LaVine?
He doesn't guard anybody.
Oh. Well, the Lakers are good.
And he's an inconsistent shooter. He's all right, but he's inconsistent. He's not a knockdown shooter that you can count on. He's very inconsistent in my mind. He's a highlight reel dunker, but I don't know that anybody's ever won a championship because you have a highlight reel dunker. It sounds fun, and it makes for good clips on the TV, but anyway, that's my thought. We'll see.
Well, wasn't he the guy that the Bulls were leaning on? Would it help for him not to be the guy?
Oh, sure. Zach LaVine was the guy. He's not good enough to be the guy, and that's been proven in Chicago because they haven't won a thing with Zach LaVine.
So it would benefit him to go to a team where he's not the guy.
Oh, it might benefit him. I don't know that he being with the Lakers. If you're a Laker fan, would you want Zach LaVine and DeMar DeRozan if it cost you Anthony Davis? I don't think you'd want that. Anthony Davis is officially one of the top 75 players in the history of the league, according to, you know, that list that was put out a couple years ago.
You know, I can't say that I haven't seen that because there are certain times when I do see that. But
all right, I'm not a fan of Anthony Davis either, especially on a consistent basis. But there are nights he puts up 30 points and 28 rebounds with 10 block shots and totally dominates a game. I don't see it very often.
Yeah.
Anyway, Lakers have their man, and J.J. Redick says he's in it to win a championship.
Makes me feel weird that J.J. Redick is just turning 40, so for about 2 weeks there, we were about the same age, and J.J. Redick is the head coach of the Lakers.
You guys are on a very similar life paths as well.
I mean, you know, if I had J.J. Redick's fame, I think I could do a pretty good podcast, let me tell you.
Does this mean anything to you? Lakers players who attended the news conference today were Spencer Dinwiddie, Christian Wood, and Gabe Vincent.
Yeah, that tells me a little bit.
Like, where was anybody that's actually on the team?
Well, I guess I don't have an issue with it because it's not like this is a planned thing where it these things just come out of nowhere. They hired the guy.
I don't know. They knew the press conference was coming for a few days, I would think.
Yeah, you would think that LeBron would have his podcast co-host back.
Where's
Anthony Davis?
Where's Reeves? What's Reeves got to do? with his free time?
I don't know, but Spencer Dinwiddie and Gabe...
Isn't Reeves the white Mamba now?
I think he is.
Minnesota... excuse me, Minnesota Timberwolves coach Chris Finch last seen hobbling around behind the Minnesota bench because he had his knee ligaments torn out during the playoffs.
That's brutal.
Yeah, Mike Conley collided into him during the opening round against Phoenix, but he has extended a four-year contract extension. Kenny Atkinson, do you know who he is?
He's the new...
head coach of the Cleveland
Cavaliers.
I always want to call them the Cleveland Cadavers because I always thought that was one of my favorite nicknames back in the day when they were really bad. Cavaliers are bringing in Golden State assistant Kenny Atkinson, next coach of the Cavs. Kenny Atkinson has been...
Why do I know his name?
Well, he sits right there next to Steve Kerr and just kind of know who he is. But he's been rumored to be a head coach two or three times in the past. He's been Kerr's top assistant since 2021. Anyway, that's some NBA news. WNBA news, by the way. Yesterday, I got to hand it to her when I got to hand it to her.
She had a great
Angel
game.
Reese got the better of Caitlin Clark with a brilliant performance.
Yeah.
26-15, I think it was.
Yeah, she had a lot of rebounds.
She had a big game. And the Chicago won. Here's the thing, though, with the WNBA. I don't know the standings by heart. I check them out. I know Connecticut's having a good year, New York also, and I think Minnesota. But say what you will about Angel Reese, Caitlin Clark, and all these young players. Chicago, Indiana, when they play, that's the must-watch game of the season.
Oh, yeah.
Regardless of the fact that their records are in the middle of the pack or below.
Yeah, I agree.
Those are the two teams everybody wants to see play. And that was the highest rated game. It was the highest attended game. It was just, you know, amazing. What these kids are doing in the WNBA, I appreciate the veterans want to, you know, them to pay their dues. But the veterans should also be realizing that their league is getting a whole lot of ink thanks to these players. Well, it just is what it is.
Wouldn't it kind of be similar in some sort of way, like the players who played in the NFL in the 80s who didn't make nearly as much money as this guy being all angry at the guys for making money now?
Well, you know, I mean, these players are driving everything up. Interest,
yes.
Ratings, and guess what comes next? Salaries. It just does. I mean, if the league makes more money, the players will make more money.
Yeah.
So, you know, I'm not saying you have to, you know, give Caitlin Clark a big hug every time you see her. All right, Cristello, Tony Gwynn Jr., Matt Scraby, Gwynn and Chris, 97.3 The Fan. Bad news I spoke of concerning the Padres, Fernando Tatis, 10-day injured list. Hopefully that's all it is. But some of the reports are saying could be through the All-Star break. That the Padres are without Fernando. That's bad news. So is this. Yu Darvish, scheduled to start tomorrow, coming off the injured list, will not be coming off the injured list, and will not be starting tomorrow night. Adam Mazur will start in his place, as he has been doing. Jose Azokar was sent down today, replaced by Bryce Johnson on the roster. And Bryce Johnson will be in the lineup tonight for the Padres against the Nationals.
Johnny Brito was also sent down.
Yes, you're right. Johnny Brito was also sent down today.
Lots of movement on the roster.
A lot of crazy moves, but, you know, through it all, the Padres managed to be a 500 team. For good or for bad.
All they need to do is just hang on until the All-Star break.
Okay.
Get the reset and let's go.
All they have to do is hang on to the final week of the season and then win their last seven games.
That's true.
And they would probably make the playoffs under those circumstances.
They do like the pressure.
All right. We like the pressure, too. But first, we're going to check some traffic before we get to today's big stuff in the Big Five.
It's that time of the show when we check on the latest in sports. Only the most important topics and questions are brought to light.
Stop what you're doing and listen.
These news stories will astound and amaze you. The one, the only.
Oh, my God. Who the hell
cares?
The Big Five starts now on 97.3 The Fan.
All right, so a pretty good weekend for the Padres against the Brewers. They took 3 of 4 games, and don't look now. I'm not doing this board running thing very good today, guys, so as you have been doing all show, thank you for sticking with me.
Number 5.
Needed to make sure the pot was up before I played that. The Padres are just 1 game under .500 at home this season after taking, as I said, 3 of 4 from the Brewers. We were just talking a few weeks ago about how the Padres needed to play better at home, and they have done that recently. Chris, what are they doing different at home in the last few weeks?
Oh, scoring more runs?
Yeah, well, that's
than the other team?
Yes, thank you.
Well, I mean, first of all, they're actually at 500 at home because one of the losses was in Korea. That was a home game.
Ah, correct.
So actually, in the number of games they played at Petco, they're 500, which is the same story on the road now. Tony's been talking about it for 2 weeks. This is just everything finding its way back to normal. It made no sense for the longest time why they were 6 or 7 games over 500 on the road and the opposite at home. As I told you then, and I'll tell you now, very few teams, if any, will finish this season with a better record on the road than they do at home. It just doesn't normally work out that way. I think the Astros last year were the last case of a team really being lopsided in favor of their road record. So I don't think it's anything, you know, different. Probably the one thing that stands out is that when you're home, you get the bat last, and that means you can hit walk-off home runs in 3 straight games, and the other team can't do anything about that. So, you know, this is just, you know, baseball finding its way back to normal. And, you know, this is the most unsurprising thing of all is that the Padres are now 500 at home, 500 on the road, 500 in Korea, and 500 overall. I mean, that's just that's the story of this season, Tone. Right?
Yeah, Tony. Indeed. What do you think?
You know, as Chris likes to say, water has found its level.
I'm trying not to say that this year because it really didn't work last year.
Well, I mean, I think they've proven it time and time again at this point that water will eventually find its level, and so I think that it's a good and bad thing. If you can have a 500 record on the road and so, you know, start to play better on the road again, that's a boon, especially if you're going to play over 500 at home. And I think that formula gets you in the playoffs one way or another. You know, you're above 500 at home, at 500 on the road, I think you're going to the playoffs. And I think that's a good thing. I think right now what has been most impressive is Padres are doing this dance with a lot of dudes not being 100% and banged up. And it was just the pitching staff there for a while. Now it's made its way into the position player pool. Yet they're still doing the same exact thing. You're just hoping that once they get fully healthy, that this team really starts to take off then.
Good answers, guys, to a pretty lackluster question.
Number 4.
Let's talk about real quick the Blake Snell and the Giants stuff that's going on right now, because he was talking to the media yesterday after he pitched just an inning and 2/3 against the Sacramento River Cats on Sunday. He allowed 3 hits, 2 earned runs while walking 3 batters. He didn't record any strikeouts. He is on the IL with a groin strain, and he threw 51 pitches. He was pretty frustrated after the outing, and he kind of sort of alluded to possible pressure from the Giants to return before he's ready. So he told San Francisco Chronicle Shayna Rubin, quote, "I haven't felt like myself yet. It's just, we need you. We need you. We need you. It's not like, let's get him right, and I have to deal with it. I want to be healthy and 100%, and I haven't been. I've just been fighting to rush back. So that's my take. I'm frustrated with that, and you don't get the product of what I should be, and it's just frustrating. I want to go out there and dominate and pitch the way that I pitch, but it's more important that I'm out there." End quote. Tony, you're up first. Is Blake Snell right to be irked about the organization pushing him to come back?
I don't know whether he's right or not, but those of us who got to know Blake saw this coming, right? Like, Blake is He wants to compete. He, in some ways, he's a people pleaser, right? I mean, he wants to, as he's trying to make this call. But when you are signing this late into the season and you don't have a spring training, right? You are playing catch up the whole time. It's no different than what we saw with Joe and Yu Darvish a few years back. Or was that last year? Joe was last year.
Yeah, Yu Darvish was injured last year, too.
But so, I mean, it's not even the injuries. It's just, you know, World Baseball Classic. You know, you're not, you know, broken toe and, like, you're not getting the regular deal. You set yourself up to be playing catch up. And that's what Blake is doing. I don't know that any great pitcher or not is immune to, you know, not getting the right kind of work beforehand. And so, you know, now I think he's suffering the consequences of it a little bit, and I'm sure it's a little frustrating for him. You know, you also understand where the Giants are coming from, right? I mean, this is a division, a league that, you know, you're still in it.
Yeah.
From a wild card perspective. And you made the big splash to bring him on, and you kind of need it. But at some point, though, I think Blake ends up being right on this, right? Ultimately, do you want him at the level that you've seen him at? Or do you want to just keep trying to push this thing and have him back as soon as possible? It may, at the end, be better to let him kind of go at his own pace, get himself ready, and then, you know, come back and you can have a better chance of getting the Blake Snell we saw the last 2 years here in San Diego.
Chris, what do you think about Blake Snell? The question, but you can take it anywhere you want, is he right to be irked about the organization pushing him to come back?
First of all, before you ask that question, I heard a really loud breath by you in.
Me?
Yeah. It was kind of like this. Chris is, and I just wanted you to know that I'm not the only one that breathes loud from time to time.
I'm going to have to go back and listen to
this
breath.
Was pretty, you know, I can understand why you're irked by that from time to time.
Right.
And it really threw me, Scrape.
I had no idea. I just got reversed on this.
That was pretty shocking. Reverse the curse. I think the Giants need to be quiet, and it's not easy for them to be quiet, but in this situation, you have to just lay back and let Blake Snell get right. Because if you continue to rush him back or try to rush him back, then any negative results that he has are going to eventually kind of wind up back on you. And I think he's got that in his mind right now, that he's not ready and they keep bringing him back and he keeps pitching poorly and it's going on his record. But it's because they're rushing him. I was trying to compare this to something with a relationship, a marriage. I don't have the specific comparison, but I will tell you this. There are times when my wife, I don't feel is 100% right about something.
Oh, where are we going?
Yeah, I'm going to just leave this really general. But there's times when I don't think she's right about something. I really want her to do something. But I feel like she's got to come up with the idea first.
Yeah.
Because if I'm the one that comes in and says, you know, I think you should do this, it's probably going to be met with, ah! So I think that's kind of where the Giants are with Blake Snell. I really think they just have to sit back, bite their tongue, let him come back so that he doesn't get to keep going, ah! So that's kind of where it's at.
All right.
And buyer beware, again, when you're going to spend this kind of money on pitchers, no matter who it is, because, you know, I mean, you couldn't get a better guy than the defending Cy Young Award winner, but, man, the Giants have really paid for it.
Yes.
There you
Moving
go.
On to
That's the way.
Moving on to number three.
Number three.
So we actually got two golf topics here in the Big Five today. But yesterday in the PGA Tour, they were playing in Connecticut. Six climate protesters stormed the 18th green while the tournament leaders were lining up their putts to finish the final hole in regulation at the Travelers Championship, delaying the finish for a long 5 minutes, guys. It was really long. But the protesters, I will say this for the golfers, it was scary. The protesters came out from all directions around the green with waving smoke bombs and left red and white residue on the putting surfaces. But you could see the golfers kind of like, what is happening? This guy running through the bunker with a big smoke bomb. So they did arrest these people. They said no golf on a dead planet is what was on their shirt. So they're trying to get across that we need to do stuff about climate change, which it's really hot today. I don't blame anyone. But Chris, are these people actually getting their point across?
I don't think so. I'm just going to go back to protesters in general. To me, most protesters pick the world's worst spot to try to make a change. And, you know, I'm going to give Jerry Seinfeld was doing his stand-up a couple of weeks ago in Australia in front of, tens of thousands, you know, at some stadium in Australia. And protesters were screaming, you know, that this, that, and the other. And the Middle East was the main topic of their protest. And Jerry Seinfeld finally fired back and said, you know what? You guys are right. It's comics to come around. We can cure everything in the Middle East. And what he meant to say is, you're wasting everybody's time. This isn't the platform for it. This isn't the place to get something like this done. So a waste of everybody's time yesterday, kind of a scary moment for the golfers. If you have to protest something, do it in the proper way.
Don't ever, ever throw a smoke bomb on a green like that. That was a prestigious green.
Having said that, you know my feeling about golf courses.
What about them?
We have far too many of them.
Oh, gosh. This one's a nice one, though.
Yeah, okay, well, then get rid of one of the uglier ones nearby.
I can do that.
But there are so many golf courses, and they take up a lot of water to stay looking the way they do.
What golf courses do you play? I don't know many golf courses anymore.
You don't think they put any water on your courses that you play?
Maybe the greens.
No.
Tony, are these people getting their point across?
I mean, we're talking about it. We know what they were protesting, so I guess they are getting their point across. From a player standpoint, I've never had anybody run on the field while I was playing.
Yeah.
But I always felt like, you know, that could turn ugly because I know if I felt threatened, I'm not going to ask any questions. I'm getting off the first shot. If you're running towards me and you don't have the right demeanor as you approach,
yes,
I've always told myself, we'll ask questions later. Now, and I've had teammates that have actually had this, and it's not been good for whoever ran on the
on the field.
On the field. Because it's dangerous. You don't know. I mean, I'm old enough to remember Monica Seles being stabbed on the court. Like that, I'm sure she didn't know what was happening as this dude was approaching her. Right? Like,
yeah,
so
for sure.
I just think that could be a very scary situation.
It can also be a very heroic situation.
Rick Monday.
You are Rick Monday,
yeah.
This is way back, but Rick Monday, the rest of his life was heroic for this. It was in the 70s at a Dodger game, and he was actually playing for the Cubs at the time, and some protester ran out on the field and tried to burn the American flag out in center field.
Wow.
And Rick Monday raced over before ignition and snatched the flag and ran off into the history books.
Man, that seems a little bit more serious.
It was a little serious, but Rick Monday was, I mean, like I said, this followed Rick Monday throughout his life.
It's that time of the show when we check on the latest in sports. Only the most important topics and questions are brought to light.
Stop what you're doing and listen.
These news stories will astound and amaze you. The one, the only.
Oh my God, who the hell cares?
The Big Five starts now on 97.3 The Fan.
All right, so a pretty good weekend for the Padres against the Brewers. They took 3 of 4 games, and don't look now. I'm not doing this board running thing very good today, guys, so as you have been doing all show, thank you for sticking with me.
Number 5.
Needed to make sure the pot was up before I played that. The Padres are just 1 game under .500 at home this season after taking, as I said, 3 of 4 from the Brewers. We were just talking a few weeks ago about how the Padres needed to play better at home, and they have done that recently. Chris, what are they doing different at home in the last few weeks?
Oh, scoring more runs?
And, well, that's
and then the other team?
Yes, thank you.
Well, I mean, first of all, they're actually at 500 at home because one of the losses was in Korea. That was a home game.
Ah, correct.
So actually, in the number of games they played at Petco, they're 500, which is the same story on the road now. Tony's been talking about it for 2 weeks. This is just everything finding its way back to normal. It made no sense for the longest time why they were 6 or 7 games over 500 on the road and the opposite at home. As I told you then, and I'll tell you now, very few teams, if any, will finish this season with a better record on the road than they do at home. It just doesn't normally work out that way. I think the Astros last year were the last case of a team really being lopsided in favor of their road record. So I don't think it's anything, you know, different. Probably the one thing that stands out is that when you're home, you get the bat last, and that means you can hit walk-off home runs in 3 straight games, and the other team can't do anything about that. So, you know, this is just, you know, baseball finding its way back to normal. And, you know, this is the most unsurprising thing of all is that the Padres are now 500 at home, 500 on the road, 500 in Korea, and 500 overall. I mean, that's just that's the story of this season, Tone, right?
Yeah, Tony, what do you think?
You know, as Chris likes to say, water has found its level.
I'm trying not to say that this year because it really didn't work last year.
Well, I mean, I think they've proven it time and time again at this point that water will eventually find its level. And so I think that it's a good and bad thing. If you can have a 500 record on the road, and so, you know, start to play better on the road again, that's a boon, especially if you're going to play over 500 at home. And I think that formula gets you in the playoffs one way or another. You know, you're above 500 at home, at 500 on the road, I think you're going to the playoffs. And I think that's a good thing. I think right now what has been most impressive is Padres are doing this dance with a lot of dudes not being 100% and banged up. And it was just the pitching staff there for a while. Now it's made its way into the position player pool. Yet they're still doing the same exact thing. You're just hoping that once they get fully healthy, that this team really starts to take off then.
Good answers, guys, to a pretty lackluster question.
Number 4.
Let's talk about real quick the Blake Snell and the Giants stuff that's going on right now, because he was talking to the media yesterday after he pitched just an inning and 2/3 against the Sacramento RiverCats on Sunday. He allowed 3 hits, 2 earned runs while walking 3 batters. He didn't record any strikeouts. He is on the IL with a groin strain, and he threw 51 pitches. He was pretty frustrated after the outing, and he kind of sort of alluded to possible pressure from the Giants to return before he's ready. So he told San Francisco Chronicle Shayna Rubin, quote, "I haven't felt like myself yet. It's just, we need you. We need you. We need you. It's not like, let's get him right, and I have to deal with it. I want to be healthy and 100%, and I haven't been. I've just been fighting to rush back. So that's my take. I'm frustrated with that, and you don't get the product of what I should be, and it's just frustrating. I want to go out there and dominate and pitch the way that I pitch, but it's more important that I'm out there." End quote. Tony, you're up first. Is Blake Snell right to be irked about the organization pushing him to come back?
I don't know whether he's right or not, but those of us who got to know Blake saw this coming, right? Like, Blake is he wants to compete. He in some ways he's a people pleaser, right? I mean, he wants to, as he's trying to make this call, but when you are signing this late into the season, and you don't have a spring training, right? You are playing catch up the whole time. It's no different than what we saw with Joe and Yu Darvish a few years back. Or was that last year? Joe was last year.
Yeah, Yu Darvish was injured last year, too.
But so, I mean, it's not even the injuries. It's just, you know, World Baseball Classic. You know, you're not, you know, broken toe and, like, you're not getting the regular deal. You set yourself up to be playing catch-up, and that's what Blake is doing. I don't know that any great pitcher or not is immune to, you know, not getting the right kind of work beforehand. And so, you know, now I think he's suffering the consequences of it a little bit, and I'm sure it's a little frustrating for him. You know, you also understand where the Giants are coming from, right? I mean, this is a division, a league that, you know, you're still in it.
Yeah.
From a wild card perspective. And you made the big splash to bring him on, and you kind of need it. But at some point, though, I think Blake ends up being right on this, right? Ultimately, do you want him at the level that you've seen him at? Or do you want to just keep trying to push this thing and have him back as soon as possible? It may, at the end, be better to let him kind of go at his own pace, get himself ready, and then, you know, come back and you can have a better chance of getting the Blake Snell we saw the last 2 years here in San Diego.
Chris, what do you think about Blake Snell? The question, but you can take it anywhere you want, is he right to be irked about the organization pushing him to come back?
First of all, before you ask that question, I heard a really loud breath by you in.
Me?
Yeah. It was kind of like this. Chris is, and I just wanted you to know that I'm not the only one that breathes loud from time to time.
I'm going to have to go back and listen to
this
breath.
Was pretty, you know, I can understand why you're irked by that from time to time.
Right.
And it really threw me, Scrape.
I had no idea. I just got reversed on this.
That was pretty shocking. Reverse the curse. I think the Giants need to be quiet, and it's not easy for them to be quiet, but in this situation, you have to just lay back and let Blake Snell get right. Because if you continue to rush him back or try to rush him back, then any negative results that he has are going to eventually kind of wind up back on you. And I think he's got that in his mind right now, that he's not ready and they keep bringing him back and he keeps pitching poorly and it's going on his record. But it's because they're rushing him. I was trying to compare this to something with a relationship, a marriage. I don't have the specific comparison, but I will tell you this. There are times when my wife, I don't feel is 100% right about something.
Oh, where are we going?
Yeah, I'm going to just leave this really general. But there's times when I don't think she's right about something. I really want her to do something, but I feel like she's got to come up with the idea first.
Yeah.
Because if I'm the one that comes in and says, you know, I think you should do this, it's probably going to be met with, ah! So I think that's kind of where the Giants are with Blake Snell. I really think they just have to sit back, bite their tongue, let him come back so that he doesn't get to keep going, ah! So that's kind of where it's at.
All right.
And buyer beware, again, when you're going to spend this kind of money on pitchers, no matter who it is, because, you know, I mean, you couldn't get a better guy than the defending Cy Young Award winner, but, man, the Giants have really paid for it.
Yes.
There you
Moving
go.
On
That's the way.
Moving on to number three.
Number three.
So we actually got two golf topics here in the Big Five today. But yesterday in the PGA Tour, they were playing in Connecticut. Six climate protesters stormed the 18th green while the tournament leaders were lining up their putts to finish the final hole in regulation at the Travelers Championship, delaying the finish for a long 5 minutes, guys. It was really long. But the protesters, I will say this for the golfers, it was scary. The protesters came out from all directions around the green with waving smoke bombs and left red and white residue on the putting surfaces. But you could see the golfers kind of like, what is happening? This guy running through the bunker with a big smoke bomb. So they did arrest these people. They said no golf on a dead planet is what was on their shirt. So they're trying to get across that We need to do stuff about climate change, which it's really hot today. I don't blame anyone. But Chris, are these people actually getting their point across?
I don't think so. I'm just going to go back to protesters in general. To me, most protesters pick the world's worst spot to try to make a change. And, you know, I'm going to give Jerry Seinfeld was doing his stand-up a couple of weeks ago in Australia in front of, tens of thousands, you know, at some stadium in Australia. And protesters were screaming, you know, that this, that, and the other, and the Middle East was the main topic of their protest. And Jerry Seinfeld finally fired back and said, you know what, you guys are right. It's comics to come around. We can cure everything in the Middle East. And what he meant to say is, you're wasting everybody's time. This isn't the platform for it. This isn't the place to get something like this done. So a waste of everybody's time yesterday, kind of a scary moment for the golfers. If you have to protest something, do it in the proper way.
Don't ever, ever throw a smoke bomb on a green like that. That was a prestigious green.
Having said that, you know my feeling about golf courses.
What about them?
We have far too many of them.
Oh, gosh. This one's a nice one, though.
Yeah, okay, well, then get rid of one of the uglier ones nearby.
I can do that.
Are so many golf courses, take up a lot of water to stay looking the way they do.
What golf courses do you play? I don't know many golf courses anymore.
You don't think they put any water on your courses that you play?
Maybe the greens.
No.
Tony, are these people getting their point across?
I mean, we're talking about it.
We
know what, I mean, we know what they were protesting, so I guess they are getting their point across. From a player standpoint, I've never had anybody run on the field while I was playing.
Yeah.
But I always felt like, you know, that could turn ugly because I know if I felt threatened, I'm not going to ask any questions. I'm getting off the first shot. If you're running towards me and you don't have the right demeanor as you approach,
yes,
I've always told myself, we'll ask questions later. Now, and I've had teammates that have actually had this, and it's not been good for whoever ran on the
on the field.
On the field. Because it's dangerous. You don't know. I mean, I'm old enough to remember Monica Seles being stabbed on the court. Like that, I'm sure she didn't know what was happening as this dude was approaching her, right? Like,
yeah,
so
for sure.
I just think that could be a very scary situation.
It can also be a very heroic situation.
Rick Monday.
You are Rick Monday,
because
everybody, I mean, this is way back, but Rick Monday, the rest of his life was heroic for this. It was in the 70s at a Dodger game, and he was actually playing for the Cubs at the time, and some protester ran out on the field and tried to burn the American flag out in center field.
Wow.
And Rick Monday raced over before ignition and snatched the flag and ran off into the history books.
Man, that seems a little bit more serious.
It was a little serious, but Rick Monday was, I mean, like I said, this followed Rick Monday throughout his life.
Well,
I mean, it still
Rick
does.
Monday.
Yeah.
I bet you he never had a bad Monday.
Not Rick. Not good old Rick.
That
was so bad.
That was great.
Let's just move on.
Not only did climate protesters storm a green this weekend, at LIV Golf Nashville, Bryson DeChambeau was left baffled while standing on the 15th tee as Greg Norman stormed the LIV Golf 15th green tee to tend the pin during the second round of LIV Golf Nashville. Now, Bryson waved off the person because he said after the round he had no idea it was Greg Norman. But then once he, like, kind of got found out that who it was and everything, he was playing into it and he thought it was fun and he was doing the whole Happy Gilmore thing with the crowd. On the other side, you have John Rahm, and he was angry at all the drones flying around. He duck hooked one in the water, then looked up at the drone and said, "Are you kidding me with these effing drones?" And like went off on the drone.
He duck hooked it first, and then he said,
"Yes,
are you kidding me?"
Yes,
huh?
He looked at the drone. I mean, John Rahm, you signed up for this. I don't understand why you're so mad. Anyway, two very, very, very different personalities. Chris, Tony, which personality do you like more for your star golfer? The often angry one or the Happy Gilmore?
Ooh. Wait, which way? Happy Gilmore. Happy
Gilmore. Bryson DeChambeau is like the guy who's encouraging the crowd to be loud and he's interacting with them.
That's a good question. I don't know. Maybe the hybrid.
The hybrid.
I would like a little bit of both. Like, there's some seriousness to you, and there's a time and a place, but you could also still get the crowd into some of them. You know, I think they're two entirely different things, right? You got a drone flying over you that, you know, is making you uncomfortable, and then you got the crowd that's always there.
Yeah. All right. Chris, what do you think? Which golfer do you want?
I don't know. I'd like a good reason as to why I duck hook them. I never had to deal with a drone.
It's because of the drones.
I still do it. I don't really know. I like Bryson DeChambeau at the moment.
Me too.
Subject to change because he can probably go back to being the other Bryson DeChambeau quickly. I think the only thing I need to say about this is the protesters at the Scottie Scheffler event were at least smart. They didn't do their protest at the LIV event because then truly nobody would have ever seen them.
I have to say, the original question for me was going to be, is LIV more entertaining than PGA Tour right now?
It might be. I just don't, you know, get to watch it and really know where it is and don't follow it.
Yeah, I see the clips is where I see it.
Right. I just need golf to get its act together. And until further notice, you know, I'm going to be down on golf.
I don't blame you. Number one. But I can't believe it that I'm kind of a Bryson DeChambeau fan right now.
You like him.
He's
now.
Been pretty awesome to the fans.
Keep an open mind. Things can change.
All that. As if he's not eating like 7,000 calories. Remember when he was eating 7,000 calories
a day?
Yeah,
he stopped doing that.
He stopped doing that. Yeah. He stopped getting injured after he stopped doing that.
Yeah, I know. He was over there trying to be Incredible Hulk and was injured every tournament.
He was like, oh, hold on. I need to put this peanut butter sandwich down my gullet right now. All right. Random question. I started watching some of the Olympic trials over the weekend for track and field and swimming and all of that, but we already know Sam Levitt loves his ice dancing and wants to be an ice dancer one day.
Right.
So we're not talking about
figure skating, I thought it was. Is that's different.
Yes, it is, because ice dancing, you dance on the ice. Remember, Chris, I broke this down years ago.
Yeah, and you did a great job of it.
Chris, what is your favorite, and it can't be one of the popular sports, it can't be like basketball or track and field, swimming, what is your favorite random Summer Olympic sport to watch?
Summer Olympic. I had an answer ready for you, but it was the luge, and that's not in the Summer Olympics.
No,
so
it's not.
I have to come up with, oh, I know one.
Okay.
That I actually, if it's on,
yeah,
and they don't show it very often,
yeah, you'll stop.
I would pause and watch it for a little while because my interest is always peaked.
Okay.
The 50-kilometer walk.
That's a good one.
I love those guys.
That's a great one.
When they're waddling along.
There is a special hip, like, kind of swerve you got to have when you're doing that walk.
I will watch that for a little while. I can't say that I'm, you know, actively rooting for the guy from Bulgaria or whoever it is.
But that's a great call.
But I'll watch those guys for a little while till they waddle around. That's what came to mind.
I'm sorry,
probably a couple more, but
no, that's pretty good.
I'm
going
to go with the one of the walks. And you know what? I'm calling on NBC to show a little more of that this year. You
Maybe
know, they show us the marathon. They show us all that. I mean, give me a little walking.
Give the speed walkers some,
I like
some
it.
Airtime.
I like it, yeah.
Tony, what's your favorite random Summer Olympic sport?
It can't be track and field, you said?
It can't be the popular ones. But you could choose a track and field event.
The javelin throw.
Yeah.
Javelin
throw.
Because there's a good chance for injury.
Yeah.
The javelin throw.
Someone's going to get stabbed.
We have seen some pretty bad javelin
injuries,
finishes, if you will. Yes.
Yeah. Yeah, javelin, that's a good one.
It's a good one. Have you ever actually, has either of you ever tried to throw a javelin?
Like, no.
I mean, not
I
that
have
you've
not.
Come across one very often.
Oh, yeah, I have one in my backyard. I just
throw it. I can tell you, I tried to throw one once, and I don't know where I ran into it, but I wound up to throw it like a baseball, of course.
You can't do that.
And I hit myself in the back of the head with the tail end of the javelin. You can't throw it like that. It doesn't work.
That's really funny.
Yeah. So be careful if you ever see a javelin.
My sport, synchronized diving. I love synchronized diving.
It's not bad.
It's fun.
Not only that, those guys are on point.
I'm not watching the guys, Chris. Come on.
Either way.
Okay.
They're on point.
All right, that's it for the Big Five. When we get back, we'll set you up for this game tonight between Chris's favorite pitcher, Patrick Corbin, and Matt Waldron next on 97.3 The Four. The Four? The Fan. Jeez, guys.